In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Let me start our time together as we look at those various passages that were read by reading another passage from my favourite Christmas story. It's Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol. And here we have a description of Scrooge's house. It says this, I hope you're sitting comfortably. "It was old enough now and dreary enough, for nobody lived in it but Scrooge. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, was fain to grope with his hands. The fog and frost hung about the black old gateway of the house. Half a dozen gas lamps out of the street wouldn't have lighted the entry too well. So you may suppose that it was pretty dark. Up Scrooge went, not caring a button for that. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it." Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. Now, I imagine there aren't too many of us who would be self-confessed Scrooges. We might be labelled that by our colleagues or friends when we're told that we have to do another Secret Santa. Or maybe by our spouses when they open our Christmas presents. I hope not, though. I hope not. But really, I imagine most of us aren't Scrooges at heart. We don't love the darkness, do we? Christmas, for many, is all about the lights. The lights on the tree, outside on the houses, the light of the candles in the fireplace. Maybe for some, this is what Christmas is all about. Some people love Christmas lights so much that their houses become the canvas for their Christmas creativity. Now, I'm sure many of us will have one of these near us somewhere, and if not, it's probably you. It's probably your house. Well, we don't have to be using up half of Hampshire's energy supplies to love the lights of Christmas. Maybe if the slightly over-the-top, slightly tacky lights of that house behind me aren't your thing, then you'll be gathered around the Christmas tree or gathered around the candlelight. At Christmas, we love light, don't we? We love light. But I wonder, what if there was a light that not just shone into the darkness of our chilly, wintry streets and festively decorated houses, but a light that shone into the darkness of our lives and hearts? Would we love that light then? As the lights of Christmas illuminate the whole room, would we want that light to illuminate all of our actions, all of our thoughts and desires. Everything we've ever said, all of those conversations we've regretted, all of those hurtful messages that we've sent, everything that we've ever done, those actions that make us feel ashamed every time we think about them. Everything we've ever thought, those things that would cause us to blush and despair if anyone else knew about them. I think for many of us, I think for all of us, that's one light that wouldn't be welcome at Christmas, wouldn't be welcome at all. In that regard, then, we're right there with Scrooge, aren't we? We're right there with Scrooge when he says he likes the darkness. The darkness hides our shame, hides those aspects of our lives that we don't want anyone else to know about. For Scrooge, the darkness was cheap, and that's why he liked it. But for us, maybe those painful truths are too costly for us to bring to light. Denial and darkness are cheaper, and so we like it. And I think we're all quite good at this, aren't we? Particularly at Christmas. When we start to feel the light shining on our true natures, well, what do? We turn up Michael Bublé that much louder. We help ourselves to a couple more pigs in blankets. We stretch our credit cards that much further. And we watch our favourite episode of Doctor Who or Gavin and Stacey. All the while, we're seeking to reject that light, to stay just enough in the darkness, that we don't have to deal with those things that we don't want anyone else to know about. Well, we've had Dickens and Scrooge. How about Shakespeare and Macbeth? There he is on the screen. Slightly less Christmassy, but in the play, in Shakespeare's play, he has Macbeth reflecting on what he has done and what he will go on to do as he seeks to seize the crown for himself. And he says this. He says, "Stars hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires." And maybe we can empathize with that. We want to keep our black and deep desires out of sight, and so we reject the light. The trouble with darkness, though, is that it's just that. It's dark. And when you're in it, you're blind. You're lost. And we don't need to watch the news too long, listen to our politicians too long, or examine our own lives and hearts for too long to know and appreciate that our society and ourselves, that we are lost in darkness too. The Bible speaks really clearly about this, that to go our own way is to be spiritually in darkness, to be spiritually blind, lost, and even dead. And so we ask the question, what hope is there as we fumble and stumble in the dark? There's a story of a boy who went travelling with his family, with his parents and his older brother, to spend Christmas in the New Forest. This was their tradition, they did it every year, and they loved it. An elderly relative had left them a beautiful cottage in the middle of nowhere, and it really was in the middle of nowhere. So much so that every time they went, they had to park their car at the end of the closest road and walk the final half mile through the woods. And whilst the parents enjoyed this wintry walk in the frost-tipped foliage, the younger son, well, he found it pretty tedious. And so this particular Christmas, as the parents and older brother set off, the younger son decided that he knew a better way, a quicker way, his own way. But as we all know, this time of year, it gets pretty dark pretty quickly. And before he knew it, he found himself in the pitch black. He's lost. And his heart beats faster and faster. He's cold now too, but he's still determined to find his own way to the house. He gets colder and colder, more and more afraid. And as the darkness falls all around him, he starts to run and run. And in his haste and in the dark, he scratches his face. He stumbles over roots. And before he knows it, he's up to his waist in mud. He's fallen into a marshy bog. And now he's in trouble, really in trouble, because no matter how hard he tries, well, he can't get himself out. He's alone, lost in the darkness, and in real danger. But despite all of that, he doesn't want to cry out for help. He's determined to find his own way, because he's still determined to find his own way. But then a piercing bright light shines into his darkness. It's his older brother with a big, high-powered torch. The younger son, well, he looks down at himself and he sees the mud, his ripped clothes, the cuts on his hands and his arms. He's embarrassed. He's a mess. But as his older brother wades into the mud and gently pulls him up and out, none of that matters anymore. He recognizes that he's completely hopeless. But in the arms of his big brother, he knows he's safe. He knows he's heading home. And sure enough, there through the trees, he can see the warm lights of his family's cottage. And there to meet him are his mum and dad, so relieved, so happy. And they can't wait to welcome him in. He's home, home for Christmas. That story captures what we have heard in our readings this evening from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We're told this. Great. We're told that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now we've seen, haven't we, that we are those walking in darkness. You and I are those living in the land of deep darkness. But what or who is this great light that has dawned? Well, Isaiah goes on to say this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," you can see it around the room, "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." This light, then, that shines into our darkness is a baby. A baby who will be born and who will be king. This baby, as we can see, is God himself. The light is Jesus. And John, one of Jesus' followers and disciples, in his eyewitness account, in his gospel, tells us more about Jesus as the light. We had it in our reading earlier. He says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the hope that we've been looking for. We were lost and dead in darkness, but Jesus is the one who offers us light. Jesus is the one who offers us life. Even into the depths of our darkness, his light shines through. The darkness hasn't overcome it. And just like that older brother in our story, Jesus finds us in the mess that we're in. And like the older brother, he doesn't look on, distant, no. But rather, he gets down into the mud. He comes into the world. In our passage again, John says this: "The word Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling, his home among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Many of us will be travelling over the Christmas period to see friends and family. Some of us, maybe even hundreds of miles. For Sarah, my wife and I, we're even travelling to Swindon. I know, Swindon, crazy. But the fact is, none of those journeys come even close to comparing to this journey, to the journey that Jesus made on that first Christmas. He left his Father, he left heaven, and he came to earth, to the mud and darkness of a world that went its own way. But why? Why go all that way? Why sacrifice everything? Well, John tells us why. He tells us that he did it for you, and he did it for me. Just like the boy in that story, by going his own way, he was never going to make it. He needed his big brother to come and to lift him out of the state that he was in and to carry him home, to be back with his family again, united with his family. And Christmas, well, it's all about family, right? It certainly seems that way for a lot of people. Maybe you're into tracing your family tree back over the generations, and perhaps you've bought someone this. It's a DNA ancestry kit, which seem to be really popular at the moment, lots of adverts out there, and it allows you to trace your family tree that much further into the past. Well, how about Jesus' family? We're familiar, aren't we, with Luke's account of the first Christmas of Mary and Joseph and the baby together in that stable, together as a family. We might even know Matthew, his gospel story, where it traces Jesus' family tree back over the generations. But John, well, John goes bigger still. He goes back, right back. As he starts to tell his story, the Christmas story, he writes this: in the beginning. In the beginning. Now, I thought my dad has done quite well in tracing the Sweet family name back to the 1500s, but this blows that out of the water. Forget the Middle Ages. This is before all ages, before time has even begun. And what do we see here? Well, we see the Word, we see Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Now, it's not quite that traditional picture of a family gathered around the Christmas tree, but this is nevertheless a family scene that's being depicted for us. It's God the Father with God the Son. This is the first family, the family. Perfect oneness, perfect unity. Now, maybe for many of us, that seems like a bit of a fairy tale over Christmas. But it's what we see here. And it's amazingly what we're invited into. John writes this. Have a look at the screen. Yet to all who did receive him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Can we feel the weight of that this evening? We can become children of God. Christmas really is all about family. It's about Jesus' family. It's about Jesus coming into the world, sacrificing all, and offering us a part, a place in his family. Just like that boy lost out in the darkness, through the older son, he was able to be with his family and know the love of his parents. Well, we too, through Jesus, can be part of his family, can know God, love God, and be incomprehensibly loved by him. We can have that unity, that oneness with him. We can come home. That's what John is showing us. That's what Jesus is inviting us into. He has done everything for us. He's done what we weren't able to. He's come into the world, come into the mud, and is willing to lift us up and out, is willing to carry us home, to be a part of his family, to be children of God. All we have to do, all we can do, is like the younger son, trust in the older brother to carry us home. That's what John says. He says, to those who believed in his name, to those who believe and trust in Jesus, theirs is true belonging, life forever. Theirs is light in the darkness. That's the invite. That's the gift that Jesus extends to ye. Now, there's nothing more awkward, is there, than thinking that a present is for you when actually it's for someone else entirely. Sarah and I were married here only just under 2 years ago. I think I've got that right. And since then, we've shared the same initials, S. Sweet, Steve and Sarah Sweet. So having my whole life been used to seeing S. Sweet on any letter or parcel, that's for me. Well, somewhat accidentally, I've opened many things that have been for Sarah and not for me. Is there any chance of that here? Who's this invite to? Whose name is on the label? The label that Jesus offers to us. Well, John couldn't make it any clearer for us. He says, in him was life, was the light of all mankind, all humanity. And in verse 9, he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. All humanity, everyone. And later in John's Gospel, in chapter 8, we hear Jesus speaking. And he gives himself this title. Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light of the world. And this is exactly what we've been looking for, isn't it? The light of life is our hope. And it's ours in Jesus. To anyone who follows him, well, the label reads, to you, from the light of the world. Tonight, as we've looked at this first Christmas account of John's Gospel, we've seen that there's a gift on offer. John has done a bit of the unwrapping for us, and he's opened the lid just a bit and shown us the eternal life, the true belonging that is on offer in this gift. He has shown us that if we believe and follow him, then we can go from lost to being a child of God. We can go from death to life forever and ever. We can go from darkness to light. From darkness to light. If you haven't accepted this gift, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, then tonight, this Christmas, in light of that first Christmas, will be a great time to do so. And if you have accepted that invitation, then let these truths be what brings you joy at Christmas. Let your identity be what makes it a happy Christmas, and not whether December lives up to that perfect image that's sold to us. No matter who we're with, what we get, what we eat, with Jesus, if you're trusting in him, then this Christmas we belong. This Christmas we're found. This Christmas we have a gift of life from the light of the world. It's a good Christmas. Let me pray for us as I close. Father God, we thank you that you haven't left us in the darkness, but that in Jesus, the light of the world, you have shown us a way to be home with you, to belong, to be loved, to have light in the darkness. It's so easy, Father God, to be distracted at this time of year by lots of good things, but help us to be excited, to be shaped, to be saved by the most exciting thing of all, your Son, the light of the world. Help us to respond to this now. In your name, amen. Thank you.